2 weeks ago, I got a phone call from a good friend of mine, Paul Becker. I don't know how many of you know Paul Becker, but Paul is the pastor at Concordia Lutheran right across the hill from us. Now, for a Baptist pastor and a Lutheran pastor to sit down and even eat a meal is right on the verge of miraculous. But Paul Becker is one of the most godly people that I have ever met in my life. He has a passion for Jesus, and he doesn't care anything about denominations. And I hope that kind of makes you think about your old preacher. I love Jesus. I want us to do the work the King has given us to do in the time frame the King has given us to do it in. And I don't care if I'm a Southern Baptist. I don't care what you call me. As long as you understand that I love my King and I want to serve him. Here in a few weeks, we're going to have a couple of pallets, I believe, of information come to our church. You saw them there in the film. This is being provided by a group that I don't even know the name of. Saturate USA has been the willing recipient of this gift. But whoever this is doing through Saturate USA, they're giving all the material for free. Doesn't cost us a thing. The only thing that we do is get together after the material comes to the church. We get together and assemble the material into packets. And then at a time a little later, we go out into the field and we begin meeting people in the name of Jesus, sharing the gospel with them, leaving tracts with them, leaving those packets with them. And if we don't meet the person on the property, we leave it at the property on the doorknob. Now, the neat thing about all this is what the Lord would have his church to do at this time, and of that, I am most convinced. It is not a coincidence that at this time we're studying through apologetics at this church. It is not a coincidence that at the same time we're emphasizing the Old Testament, the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. It is not a coincidence that at this time Paul Becker decided about a month and a half ago to step out in faith and through Saturate USA to claim the 37660 zip code as his own to do ministry in this manner. Now, Paul stepped out in faith because, just honestly, Concordia doesn't have enough people to cover this whole 37660. He stepped out in faith, and I think God has done a great work. Right now, it's Paul Becker at Concordia Lutheran, me and you all at Gravely Baptist, and my buddy Phil Whittemore up the road at Bloomingdale Baptist. We're hoping to add some more pastors and churches with us in this 37660 zip code, because I don't know if you've ever looked at a map. It is a huge zip code area. It goes all the way out to Sullivan. It goes up the road. It's just big. So I want you to be praying. I'm looking forward to this. We're going to be able to set up here some days we're going to get together. We're going to be able to have an assembly line putting things together. A short time after that, we're going to be able to get together as Concordia Lutheran, Gravely Baptist, and Bloomingdale Baptist, and hopefully a couple of others. And we're going to be able to pray and then be able to have some things to go out into the community and leave people with. To be able to talk to people about Jesus in a way, because the world has questions today, and this apologetics that we're doing right here, right now, and offering to anybody who's willing to come, I think that God has his hand in this. I believe that this is God's timing for this church. And I believe that with all my heart. It's an amazing thing to be able to say what I'm about to say, but it's something that I believe with all my heart. God's ready. The only limitation on God is our obedience. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for this group, Saturate USA, and how I thank you, Lord, for their heart and their desire. Lord, to see 60 million homes touched in 2020 by the gospel. Lord, I pray as we're praying together this morning in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to you, Father. We come asking you to give us the same heart, the same desire, Lord, to see people saved, to see households changed, to see communities reborn, to see a great movement of your Holy Spirit and your work, Lord, through your church. And Father, in the midst of all this, help us to never cease to praise you, to never cease to thank you, to never cease to glorify your name. But Lord, in the midst of this, make us as willing as a glove on your hand would be. You do with us what your will is and your desire. And Lord, help us to be minded enough to see the great works that only you can do through fallible instruments such as us. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. And we do it all today in Jesus' holy name. And to that, God's people would say, amen. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 12 this morning. I'm reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. It's the version that I have, over the years, I've kind of migrated to. In the King James Version and then the New King James Version, and then I moved to the New American Standard, and today I'm starting to use the English Standard. It's a great translation of God's Word, but that's what we're reading today. So I want you to hear this. This is John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And here it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Now he said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Chapter 12, verse 1 has a little word in it that I want to make much of this morning. 6 days before the Passover. The word is "the." It's simply a definite article. That's all. Some would say, well, you shouldn't make a big deal out of a word that the Bible doesn't make a big deal about. That definite article, "the," is used countless times in the Bible. But I believe that this "the" has particular significance, because this "the" is pointing specifically and directly and definitely to the Passover that is about to come about. And the reason I believe this "the" needs to be very emphasized in our structure today, in our church today, and in the way we preach today, is because this Passover is unlike any Passover that preceded it. Because this Passover was the fulfillment of everything that everything before it pointed to. Every Passover before this Passover was celebrated with a lamb that was part of a household, a lamb that each family would take out of the flock, a lamb who they would bring into the house on the 10th of the month, and they would take in that first month on the 10th day of the month, that little lamb into their house, and that family would get to know that lamb. They would spend time with that lamb. That lamb would be in the house, milling around with them all the time for those 4 days. But then on the 14th of that same month, 4 days after, that family would kill that little lamb. A little lamb that they got to know and enjoyed and petted and picked up and hugged. And now the lamb was dead. This Passover is not like any of those. As tragic as that scene in the Israeli household should have been, to see that little lamb, a little innocent lamb, looking up at the master of the house, looking up with anticipation of being held and hugged and maybe fed, and then suddenly seeing a knife come down and that little lamb losing its life. See, that breaks my heart. But how much more should the Passover and the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world break our hearts when we see this one who is God indeed giving his life to people who hated him? See, this Passover is very particular because it's on this Passover, the Passover, that Jesus was marching toward relentlessly. The Bible says that Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, the same Lazarus who we read over in chapter 11 and who Phillips and Banks sang about today, the same Lazarus who Jesus rose from the dead. We see this Lazarus sitting at the table with Jesus, and rather than rejoicing in a new life, the people around him tried to figure out how they could kill not only Lazarus, but Jesus, the one who had given him life. Friends, I want to warn you. I hope more of you want to take apologetics with me through Piedmont International in this church. Because we need to be able to go out into a world and not just tell them they need Jesus, to tell them why they need Jesus. To tell them why they're in the shape they're in today. To tell them why our culture is saturated with drug abuse and violence and sexual sin. To show the world that there's a difference between that world and the true world that is the world that's related and given by Jesus Christ. See, we've got to get to that. But just as they wanted Jesus dead and Lazarus too, they'll want you dead. You've got to realize that. I'll quote it wrong, but G.K. Chesterton said something like this. He said, the Christian life isn't a life that's been tried and found hard. It's a life that was found hard and not tried. Christianity is the greatest life the world has ever seen. And it's also, if lived properly and correctly, the hardest. See, we don't want to talk about that much, do we? We want to talk about Christianity like come to Jesus and have a Cadillac. Nothing wrong with Cadillacs, like to have one. But the best part of Christianity is who Christianity is about, and that's Jesus. And see, to know that I can walk with Him and talk with Him and to know that He'll never leave me and never forsake me, even when I'm forsaking Him, even when I'm lying, even when I'm not who I claim to be, and He knows. Christopher Hitchens used to say, the atheist who's now in hell, he said, I just don't like the thought of a God who looks over my shoulder and watches every move that I make. Isn't that weird? That's one of the reasons I love God so much, is because He's always there watching over me, caring about me, looking over my shoulder, and even when I get right to the point of doing something plumb stupid, I know that shocks many of you. The Holy Spirit's saying, David, I wouldn't do that. Because you see, David, that's not best for you. What I want, David, the Holy Spirit says, is what's absolutely best for you. Well, they were given a dinner. They were inviting people in. Martha was serving. Lazarus was there. Jesus was reclined at the table. And suddenly, an event began to unfold that's still being talked about today. Mary came in with a little bottle of ointment. A little bottle. It was very precious, not only the bottle, but the contents as well. A little bottle, probably no bigger than that, full. Full of a very costly perfume made out of pure nard. And when that was seen as something that would cost 300 days' wages, now think about that. That's what a denarii is, a denarius. Is one day's wage, 300 would be 300 days' wages. She came in. Now, when you think, well, she offered it to Jesus. No. She wasted it on Jesus. Don't miss that. Because the fact of the matter is, you can never waste anything on Jesus. The world will think you did. But Jesus receives it with praise. See, we can't miss this. Mary did the best thing. What we have to figure out is why she did the best thing. Because if you go back over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, you're going to find Jesus say something very strange. He said there in Matthew chapter 7, 21, we've quoted it a lot in church, you probably know it by heart, but there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. See, friends, there's a lot of you all here today that you need to figure out why you're here today. Are you here today because this is a good thing? And it is. Please don't miss that. Being in church on the Lord's Day is a good thing. It is. The world doesn't think that way. We do everything in the world on the Lord's Day other than go to church. We'll find everything else to do to take the place of church. We'll say, after all, I can go next Sunday. And you can. But I want to present to you the fact today that it's a very good thing to be in church. If you're in church for the right reason. See, we've got to get to be like Mary and less like Judas. Judas hung around Jesus a lot, didn't he? And Judas very clearly was around Jesus because of what he could get from Jesus. I mean, people gave to the ministry then. And Judas had been in charge of the bag, the money pack. That was what they put all of the money in that they got during the days. People were giving because Jesus was a great teacher. And this is the way you funded the life of a teacher in those days. A rabbi who traveled around, this is what people would do. And they gave, I'm sure, heartily to Jesus. And Judas would put it in the bag. And then at night when it was dark and everybody had gone to bed, Judas would get a little out for himself. See, Judas was following Jesus, but it seems very clear that he didn't love Jesus. And friends, I want to ask you, why are you here today? I hope you're here because you love Jesus. That's why Mary, what the world saw as wasted, 300 days' wages worth of ointment on Jesus. But that wasn't the way Jesus saw it. Jesus saw it as an act of love that is still spoken of and preached about till this day. This is why I love Phillips and Banks. They don't seem to be seen. And I don't mean this ugly, but it's a fact. Not every group's like that. But they sing because they love the one who they're singing about. And they give testimony to the fact that the one they're singing about is capable of what? All things. My Bible says that nothing's too hard for God. Nothing. As we talked yesterday at Vacation Bible School training up at the Creation Museum in Kentucky, you need to make sure you don't say it wrongly. Because somebody says God can do everything. That's a lie. God can't do everything. God can't lie. God can't act contrary to his own will. He can't. So don't say God can do everything because that's not true. But you can say God can do everything because he can. Whatever's necessary, he's able to do. Don't you love the understanding that we have from the Bible? The devil might come into somebody's life, and as Jacob said, nothing ever comes into our life that hasn't gone through the hand of God Almighty. But here's what's neat. Sometimes old Satan, he'll get in our life and he'll really mess things up, won't he? He does. Don't you love the fact that God said, my gifts and calling are without repentance. God said that even in the midst of troubles, trials, tribulation, sorrow and pain, he could do great works. Don't you love the fact that sometimes Satan in his arrogance gets in our face and says, looky there. But don't you love the fact that if you could be in the heavenly realm and hear a conversation between him and Satan, God would say to Satan, yep, and look what I'm going to do with it. See, that's our God. This is the God of John chapter 12, the God who is a person who we know is Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, this is why it's so important to understand who we believe in and why we believe in the one in whom we believe in. This is why it's so important to be a part of an apologetic ministry like this church wants to be. That's why it's so important to understand that from Genesis to Revelation, it is God's Word. Genesis 1 was uttered by the Holy Spirit, mouth of God Almighty, inspired by His Spirit, written by the prophet Moses, brought to us in truth, and revealed to us as the way God has done things. And Satan's trying to mess that up, and some, even within our convention now, are trying to say, let's do away with the Old Testament, we don't need it. No, this is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And we're going to preach the Word of God, that God created all things by the Word of His power, that by God's power all things are held together, that in the midst of God's providence over all things, He will work all things out for good to those that love Him. Regardless of what's going on, God is in the midst of it. And I don't care if you're a believer or an unbeliever. But for those of us that are believers, we need to take His Word at face value. And we need to believe Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Mary loved Jesus. Dan Brown and others have blasphemously tried to say that Mary had sexual relations with Jesus, that they were secretly married, and all the garbage that the world would want you to believe. But let me just tell you the truth. If they had been married, the Bible would have told us. It would have. Ancillary to that, let me tell you, if there were little green men out there that one day were going to come to this earth, God would have told us. And if your Bible has anything in it about them, let me see your Bible, because there's something wrong with your Bible. No, you see, when we get here to the Scriptures, we understand more and more who Jesus is. Some of you here today, you're here and you're lost. Well, let me just give you some credentials of Jesus. We hear this in our apologetics courses. Any apologetics course that you read or book that you'll go through, it'll bring these up. But these are great points to remember. See, there's some things the Bible claims about Jesus that we've got to make sure we understood. One, He began this earthly sojourn born of a virgin. That's never happened. As a matter of fact, it can't happen unless God makes it happen. And He did. This one who was born of a virgin lived a life of sinless perfection. He never had a bad thought. Let me tell you how sinful you are. Don't have a bad thought. What are you doing right now? Yeah? Yeah, you are. You're having the worst thoughts you could have, probably. No, that's just us. Jesus never had a bad thought. That's amazing. Until you realize He's God. This one who was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life was one who walked across the Sea of Galilee. That can't happen unless you're the one who made the Sea of Galilee. And then it's no big thing to walk across the water. People every now and then, they'll say to me that we've been in debate, and I say, well, you know, why did Jesus walk across the water? You know what my answer to that is? Because He could. If I could, I would. But I've tried and I can't. But this same one who was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, walked on the Sea of Galilee, walked up to a tomb one day and said, Lazarus, if you don't mind, would you come out? Lazarus had been dead 4 days. But Lazarus walked out of that tomb. But this same one who was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, walked on the Sea of Galilee, raised the dead, this same Jesus went to a cross. And the cross He went to was really not His cross. It was yours. And it was mine. And that same one who did all those wondrous works died on that cross to be the substitute for your sin debt. My Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I used to be scared to death of dying. I really did. I'd dream about it. I'd have nightmares about it. I'd think about it. I was preoccupied with it. And you know what? To be honest, this is the honest truth. Now I look forward to it. Now, granted, like I've told you before, I'm not going to try to do anything this evening to hasten it. I want to live as long as I can. Man, what a day that'll be. When all of a sudden this old body can't live no more down here by whatever reason, accident, sickness, disease, murder, whatever it is. But to know in that moment, I'll be with Him. Poor old devil. Bless his heart. Well, the reason I'm saying all that today is this. I want us to be like Mary. offer to Jesus the most expensive. What is the most expensive thing you have? You don't know, but or you might not know, maybe you do. The most expensive thing that you have is common to every one of us. Because the most expensive thing that you have is your life. Right now. You've been given that life for a very short, finite period of time on this earth. And in the midst of it, we need to get to where we love Jesus like Mary. Offer Him the wealth of our accumulation because He's worth it. I'm not asking for your money. I'm asking for more than that. I'm asking you to give to Jesus what Mary gave to Jesus. And what Mary gave to Jesus was herself. Please do that. You'll never be happy till you do. And you'll never be saved if you won't. Would you pray with me? Father, how we thank You for a good day to be in Your house, to worship You, to praise You. How we look forward to the things that are right ahead of us, Lord. But Lord, today at this moment, let this be a holy moment in the life of this church, and maybe in the life of some of these that You've brought together today. Father, if there are any that are lost today, if there are any that are lost today, let them be saved. Lord, if there are any here today that just need to commit their life to You, let them do that on this morning. But Father, help this church to begin to be the church You want us to be in everything You want us to do. And we'll ask it all in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Won't you come? Stand.